through sixth grade can be dismissed now. Head downstairs to the room across the hall from the gym. Enjoy your time preparing for the Christmas program and the special music there. Those of you staying in here, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 for scripture reading. While you're turning there, we're going to take a break from our series in Acts, and we're going to look at another passage that Luke wrote. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and we're going to look at another one today, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. But for our scripture reading, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Follow along as I read from the ESV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Flip over to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10 for our time in the Word today. The title of this message is called Easily Distracted. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to become distracted? I know for me, I go to sit down, I have a task to do, I have some reading to do, I have a job to do, and I know it's 20 minutes later and I've just made it through my Facebook feed, right? It's easily. We have distractions all around us. And it's not just wasteful time stuff like the Facebook feed and so on. It's also good things. Have you ever worked on a team that's at work with someone and you guys have a focus on a project and you send them off to do something and 3 hours later you're like, where is that person? And next thing you know, it's like, oh, I saw this needed done over here, and this needed done over here, and this needed done, and I'm finally coming back with it. Well, that was great. Those things needed to be done. But it made it very difficult for us to focus on our project here. There's so many distractions out there. You don't have to look any further than the school. Talk to a teacher out there and see how easily distracted kids can be. And I work with juniors and seniors primarily. I couldn't imagine a classroom full of kids like my children at home trying to keep them focused and away from distractions. I almost comically think about it. You guys remember the movie Up? And you have the dogs running around, and they're talking and doing their thing, and then all of a sudden, mid-sentence, mid-pursuit of something, squirrel, you'd hear that, and they'd all look and change their direction. I feel like we're walking around trying to stay focused, and all of a sudden, squirrel, and are distracted. Sadly, we don't get back onto task as fast as some of those dogs did in that movie. It was just for a brief moment and then back onto task there. Hopefully you don't deal with distraction as much as I do, and I'm just talking to myself. But if you do deal with distraction, like I'm sure we all do, the reality is there's some statistics to back that up. I found these interesting, that we are losing our ability to concentrate. And you can see that the attention span of just the general American these days is going down dramatically. I found one article with some interesting statistics in it. Harriet Griffey from The Guardian made this note in her research that the average American checks their phone every 12 minutes. Now, some of that might be productive work. I use my cell phone at work and my calendar and emails and so on. But still, 12 minutes. It's not a whole lot of time to get things done in between. She also mentioned that 71% of people never turn their cell phone off. And 40% of people in America check their cell phone within 5 minutes of waking up. Now, some of those numbers are actually lower than I thought, but I think that's striking to see those in objective numbers. And I thought about that one, checking their cell phone 5 minutes within waking up, and then Pastor's stat that he mentioned last week, only a third of Bible-believing Christians read their Bible. I wonder if there's a correlation there. I don't want to focus just on technology. We've been distracted for many years, but the digital age presents a reality of there's a lot more there that makes it hard to concentrate. We are more susceptible to distractions, and it's not just then. We've been distracted for all of humanity. You can see stories of that. In the church, we get distracted, don't we? We get distracted as a big picture that we get focused in on something other than Christ, accomplishing this social justice or this good thing, but it's not the main thing. And then even down into our individual ministries, we've always got to-do lists. This gives you a little bit of insight into my mind, and that before services, I'll be walking around and I will see a to-do list of everything that needs to be done. And I have to intentionally force myself to say, listen, that to-do list is unending and I will not get it done. I need to come into the service and sit and listen to the Word of God. We can become distracted. Allow the main thing to come away. Now, if you look around at all the different books and articles and things out there, there's lots of different strategies to be able to help ourselves concentrate. And some of them may be good, and some of those exercises we should implement. One of them that we have an ongoing conversation with in my household is about multitasking. This research is showing more and more that multitasking is a myth. Really, you divide your focus into two tasks instead of one. But my wife swears she's a great multitasker, so we have that conversation regularly. And the reality is, I don't know how she gets everything she gets done. So maybe she's an exception to the rule there. We live crazy lives, and she's able to juggle it very, very well. And multitasking could be useful, but there is one thing in our lives that we cannot multitask. We need to make sure we prioritize with top importance sitting at the feet of Christ. And that's exactly what we are going to look at today in our passage. We want to look at two examples of sisters who, one allowed distractions to happen, the other one sat at the feet of Christ. So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Let me read the passage for us. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. The main idea for today here, In life, we can become easily distracted, but we must be intentional about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me repeat that. In life, we can become easily distracted, but we must be intentional about sitting at the feet of Jesus. For those of you taking notes, here's our 3 points for today. It is important to serve Jesus. Point number one, it is important to serve Jesus. Point number two, it is essential to sit at his feet. And then point number three, Christ is enough. So let's jump into this here as we go. First one, it is important to serve Jesus, starting in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into their house. So Jesus and the disciples are in the process of their ministry. They're heading back to Jerusalem, and about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem to the east is a little village called Bethany. And inside this village, they enter in, and a lady come up to him and it offered to have them come and stay at their house. It wasn't that they just offered for a meal. They offered lodging, and they offered to help take care of them. And I think it's fascinating that this isn't just Jesus. It's Jesus and the disciples. This is a big crowd that they are welcoming into her home. And this lady is Martha, and we know Martha. Read the scriptures and in the gospels there. We have Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus was the one that Jesus raised from the dead. And Martha, in her normal way, runs out there and offers hospitality to them, always serving, always looking to do that. Martha is always displaying a servant's heart, which is good. I think Martha gets a bad rap sometimes from this story. Martha has a servant's heart, and I'm thankful for that servant's heart. We see in John chapter 11 when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and then in John chapter 12 when Mary anoints Jesus' head with oil. In both of those situations, Martha is always serving. Martha is always tending to the details. This one is a little bit different today, and we'll see that here in a little bit. Serving is not the issue. Don't hear what this passage is not saying. This passage is not about how we need to set aside serving and go and sit at the feet of Jesus. That would be a wrong perspective. We need to serve. The Lord has called us to serve. We can look through all of Scripture and see where He has called us to serve, but it's in the proper context and in the proper order. We are called to serve, and it is important to serve Jesus. Are you serving? I'm thankful that here at Wheelersburg Baptist Church, many of you are faithful at serving. Serving other people, serving our Savior, and serving the people of WBC. But what has the Christ called us to do to serve? I wonder how many of you would have been willing to do what Martha did. If Jesus were to walk into Wheelersburg here, how many of you would open up your home, let them come in, stay, feed them, provide lodging? It was a big task, and her servant's heart definitely comes through. But we need to be careful that our serving does not become a distraction. Point number two, it is essential to sit at the feet of Jesus. Verse 39, the story continues, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet, the Lord's feet, and listened to His teaching. So we see Mary here in this picture, and we see Mary, she's always sitting at the feet of Jesus. Even in those other two passages, she's anointing His head with oil. She's sitting there with Him and mourning and always wanting to be around Jesus. The Amplified Version puts it this way, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and continually listening to His teaching. Why was she sitting? What's this mean? So in that time when you would have a rabbi, a master teacher, the appropriate position to show respect, to show that you were intently listening and that you were wanting to know more, was to sit at their feet, was to sit. So what does that look like today? What would that be? I think of my students in my classroom when they are totally listening, intent at learning. They're sitting there. They have notes out. They're taking notes. They're removing distractions from them. You see cues of them nodding their head and in agreement, asking questions, wanting to understand what's going on. Many of these things were happening there. It's not just a being there and kind of in a position, but it's more of listening to the content, the teaching of Christ. And that's what Mary was interested in. She wanted to be around Christ, yes, but she wanted to hear what He had to say. She wanted to hear the truth that He was speaking and teaching. And she wanted to be around Him. Those we want to be like, we want to be around them. I love being around men of this church, men in my family who are godly, who are walking, and I want to be around them to follow their example. Do we want to be around Christ? Do we want to sit at His feet, or are we just reading through the Bible to check something off? Do we come to church and sit as a way to just do what we're supposed to do, or do you want to just be with Christ and His body? Because it's not just to be there and to kind of have this sentimental view of that. It's engaging with the Scriptures, as Mary was doing. It's engaging with the truth of God's Word and being able to glean from that. That's what it looks like to sit at the feet of Jesus. It happens in our individual times. It happens in our corporate times as well. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. And we'll talk about why here in just a little bit. Because the story continues, and in contrast to that, Martha was not. In verse 40, the beginning of verse 40, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Again, I've already said, serving is not the issue. It's the fact that she was distracted by that. What does that mean? She was anxious. She was pulled away from focus. That word there means to drag around. I envision a burden that you're carrying with you. Anytime I hear about a burden being carried around, I go to Pilgrim's Progress and see that movie in my head. Why was she so distracted? Why was she there? Why was this such a burden for her? The CSB mentions in there that there was many tasks. She was distracted by many tasks. There was a lot to get done, and she was one to make sure those things got done. John MacArthur makes the observation, maybe she was making things unnecessarily elaborate. Now, why would she want to do that? Was she trying to impress Jesus? Instead of serving him out of a response to what he has done for you, she's trying to earn favor with him. She was busy doing things for Jesus without sitting at the feet of Jesus, which caused her to be able to want to earn something from him. If we try to serve Christ to earn his favor, we are going to be left empty and short every single time. There's a warning about that in Matthew chapter 7. Many people doing things, and he will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Ultimately, this is a selfish and prideful act, disguised in spirituality, disguised in busyness. We don't trust Christ. We don't want to do it. We want to make him look at us and see that he has a good catch, that he has someone worth keeping around. And so we go out and we try to work as hard as we can to impress him and to feed into our pride and our selfishness. It's a dangerous spiral to be in. And it shows up in many ways. How do we know when we get into this situation? Well, let's learn from Martha here. One, she wasn't listening. You'll see that here, starting in verse 4, the second half of verse 40, it says, "And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' And the Lord said to her, 'Do not be anxious or troubled. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary.'" Let's learn from Martha here. Let's notice a couple of things. Let's notice her posture. Let's notice the contrast that we see here. While Mary sat, Martha stood. What is the posture of your heart when you come to Christ? When you come to church, is your posture one of submission, of wanting to hear what Christ has to say? Or is your posture coming, standing ready to try to impress him in any way you can? What's the posture of your body language when you come to serve him or come to your quiet time? Is it something that you rush through in order to do that, or do you sit and take time to commune with Christ? Our body posture and our heart posture can reveal a lot of what we are feeling, how we are thinking about that certain area. It's amazing to me how flippantly or how boldly we're called to come boldly, but only because of Christ. But how boldly we come to the throne of grace. We come in our own pride, thinking that we have something to offer. The other thing we see here is her attitude. You can almost hear it in her tone there. You can see her doing the dishes and setting up the meal and cleaning this and doing that and serving and making sure everything is nice and perfect. And under her breath, she's like, "That sister's just not helping me." And you can hear it building and building and building until finally she comes to Christ, stands in front of him, says, "You do something about that." As a parent, you know that tactic, right? Kid wants something and all of a sudden they get mad. "They're not helping me with the chores. You tell them to help me." Right? We've all heard that before. You can hear that attitude there. Not an attitude of grace. Not an attitude of thanksgiving. Not an attitude of appreciation. Not an attitude of a gratefulness. But an attitude of entitlement. An attitude of looking around to others instead of looking to Christ. Caused her to be anxious, to worry, to be upset. And she wanted Jesus, appealing to him, knowing that he is a place of authority, to tell her sister to act in the same way that he is acting there. Does that describe you when you are doing ministry? Does that describe you in your everyday life? Do you look around at people like, why aren't they doing as much as I'm doing? Why? Maybe we need to refocus and sit at the feet of Christ. It's been interesting to me, and I've had to watch myself during this. We're in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, and in the chaos of the election, and I've seen many people from inside the church who have sounded and acted a lot more like Martha than Mary during this time. They've been anxious. They've been standing and yelling. They've been upset. They've been worried. Is it possible that we have lost our focus on Christ? And we need to come and sit at the feet of Christ and allow Him and His Scriptures to work in us. It's interesting, you look at some of the different passages. I was talking to Dave Beam earlier this week about this passage as we were preparing, and he was thinking about songs, and he brought up the washing of the feet of the disciples, and how Peter wanted to rush in there and serve Christ, but do it out of a heart that was for selfish reasons, and Jesus says, no, I got to serve you. And then I started thinking about all the different stories within the Gospels and how that is true through all of the Gospels. It is true through, you can see it in lots of different areas where Paul is telling them, listen, come back to Christ. A couple of other examples here in Luke 8, verses 14. You don't have to turn there, but that's the parable of the soil. And you hear about the soil that the seed that falls and it's snatched up, or the seed that falls and grows and then gets choked out, and then the seed that grows and bears fruit. And I never thought of it this way, but how many of us are being choked out of Christianity? How many of us that our relationship being choked out because of the busyness and the distraction of ministry and the things that are happening around us? The weeds are actually good things that are around us, but they've become too much and they've overgrown and they're taking away from the nutrients of the soil. Some of us need to go back and start replenishing the soil with nutrients by sitting at the feet of Jesus. Paul continues this on in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. He says, be anxious for nothing, but with everything in prayer and petition. Prayer coming before our Savior and making much of Him. We must choose what is necessary. End of verse 42 there. But one thing is necessary. A couple of key things. Necessary. That word there, necessary. This is essential. You are lacking this and you need to have this. One thing is necessary. What is he talking about? He's talking about listening to the truth and sitting at God's feet. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. Meaning for us, this is not a natural reaction. This is not what we want to do. Left to our default setting, we will satisfy the sinful desires of our heart. But we need to make the intentional choice to come and to worship, to hear the truth of God's Word and allow it to impact our lives. And then from there, we will be equipped to serve. And a serve in a way that doesn't point to us, but a serve in a way that points to Christ. Then and only then can we do this. And it's only when we are able to make that choice. Mary chose the good portion. Verse 42 continues on. Mary chose the good portion, which will not be taken from her. She chose, the CSB makes the connection here, that she made the right choice. Martha, thinking she was doing what she could to serve Jesus, made the wrong choice because she was really serving herself, while Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that word good portion there, I love this term here, because what it comes down to is our third point, is Christ enough? Yes, Christ is enough. That word portion, it's a weird way of putting, he didn't choose the right thing, but he chose the good portion, meaning that we all have opportunity to come and partake in the teaching, in the ministry, and in the grace of Christ. And there is enough to go around to everyone. Do you trust that that be true? Christ is enough. That is the portion that we need to choose. Mary made the decision to set her pride aside and to allow Christ to minister to her heart, change her. She allowed him to change her, allowed him to serve and to minister to her heart. Then she was able, out of a heart full and a heart that has been changed and a heart that is focused in on Christ, to serve and minister. Just like Mary or Martha gets a bad rap, I don't think Mary sat and did nothing all the time. I think she did help and she did serve. And we see that in other evidences there. But she did it out of a heart, out of a love, and out of a passion for Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to serve. Serving is important. But sitting at the feet of Christ is essential, because Christ is enough. I'm always challenged by the Martin Luther quote here, and I think it's applicable for what we do. It says, "Work, work, from early till late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." That's not my heart. How many of us, the prayer and the Bible study and everything else, would either get lumped in with something else or cut off in order to get that to-do list done? Martin Luther looked at his to-do list and everything that needed to be done and says, "I need to spend this much time in prayer. Otherwise, I won't be able to do this for the honor and glory of Christ." Are you sitting at the feet of Christ? So let's bring this down to some practical level, applicational level. What are we focusing on here? First question is, are you more like Mary or Martha? Don't fly by that too quickly. You're going to discuss that and answer that question within community groups. Are you more like Mary or more like Martha? Maybe you should ask those around you if that question is there. I'll be honest, I'm more like Martha. I need people to speak truth into my life. I need people to remind me of what's important. I need to be intentional about sitting down at the feet of Christ. And my hunch is that the vast majority of people are that way. Oh, we're good at disguising it. We're good at changing it and dressing it up in religious clothing. But we are like Martha, and we need to learn from her. Number two, are you sitting at the feet of Christ? Are you sitting at the feet of Christ? Are you intentional about digging into God's Word and understanding what it has to say? Are you doing that on an individual basis? Daily, reading His Word. When you see questions that you don't, or statements that you don't understand, are you studying those? Asking questions, looking for people who can point you to the right direction? Are you understanding the truth and then coming before the Lord in prayer in order to commune with your Savior? Are you coming to church not just to do work or to just be here because it's what you're supposed to do, but as an opportunity to understand Scripture, to hear God's Word, to hear Sunday taught in Sunday school, to hear it proclaimed on Sunday morning and then discussed in other services throughout the week? Are you sitting at the feet of Christ? Are you allowing the truth of God's Word to make an impact? Are you making it available to yourself? And then, do you give Christ access to every nook and cranny of your heart to give Him permission to make changes as necessary? Or do you keep part of it guarded off? Don't mess with that, Christ. Let me keep a hold of this. And that's not just sinful things. That could be ministry things as well. Good things. What would your response be if through the working of the church, they decided to take away the ministry that you've been investing heavily in and go a different direction. It'd be difficult, but if our focus is on the person and work of Jesus Christ, then we will be on board with that. Do you give Him time to minister to you? It takes laser focus. Our scripture reading this morning, when we looked at the fix your eyes on Jesus, that whole idea of focus is, I want to run well. It takes laser focus. It takes laser focus on Christ. Are you more like Mary or Martha? Are you sitting at the feet of Christ? Number three, choose Christ, because He is enough. Some in the room or listening online need to choose Christ because you're still serving yourself. You don't even know Him as your Savior. You've maybe heard the stories about how He came from and died on a cross and rescued people from their sins, but you've never made that personal declaration in your own life. You've never humbled yourself to submit to Him and allow Him to become your Savior. Recognizing your sin and wanting nothing to do with Him. And I urge you to recognize that today. Fall on your face before Him and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And those of us who have done that by His grace and by by the miracle of what He has done in our lives, regenerating our hearts, we need to constantly be refocused. Are you choosing Christ daily, moment by moment, situation by situation, thought by thought? We have an opportunity, but it takes laser focus and an active decision to follow Christ and to trust in Him and His plan and what He offers us and His grace and satisfaction and joy, because He is enough. Serving is important, but sitting at the feet of Christ is essential, because He is enough. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You so much for the body of Christ. We thank You so much for the word that is spoken when we come, and not just from the pulpit, but from Sunday school and from those that we interact with and we encounter with. And Lord, I pray that You would just continue to help us see that You are enough. That yes, we are servants of You, but we need to be servants of You in light of the work that You have done in our hearts. We need to be servants of You after we have sat at Your feet, or we continue to sit at Your feet hearing from Your word and allowing that to change our lives. Help us to not serve in a way that is selfish and prideful. Help us see our hearts, that times we dress it up in spiritual clothing and we make excuses and we think good intentions, but really we are serving ourselves. Help us to see Your truth and allow Your Spirit to change our hearts so we can serve in a way that points honor and glory to You and to You only. And I ask this all in Your precious name. Amen. the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. And then they're not nearly as tempting to be distractions at that point. When we can behold the glory of Christ, we want nothing else better. I encourage you to continue to think and ponder these things. I encourage you to participate in community groups. Even if you haven't up to this point, it's a valuable time to chew on the truth of God's word and then also come together and pray and minister and to just be the body of Christ. That happens at 1:30 today. There's a hybrid with that, some here, some on Zoom. If you're interested in that one, make sure that you connect with Dennis or Dave and they'll be able to get you that. And then tonight at Ed's at 5, and then my house, we have one tomorrow night at 7. Valuable times to be able to continue to be the body of Christ and to help each other and remain focused and to sit at the feet of Christ. Have a blessed week. We look forward to seeing what the Lord has for us. Have a great day.